is the sweep and fury of the resurrection. There's a new world a-coming. Today and every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs on Negro life, based on the theme of Roy Otley's book, New World A-Coming. Today, the dramatic story titled We Deliver the Goods, featuring Charles Perry as Johnny Vincent, Negro merchant seaman in the National Maritime Union. Written, produced, and directed by Mitchell Grayson.
I've been a member of the National Maritime Union since it was first organized in 1937. I started sailing aboard ships about 8 years ago as an ordinary seaman. Today, I'm an able seaman. My name's Johnny Vincent, and a couple of days ago, I had a birthday. I was 28. Now, 150 years ago, the founding fathers of my country wrote, "All men are created equal." Well, my union believes that. And that's why, in the union hiring hall, no matter if you're black, white, Mexican, Spanish, Chinese, or just plain American, jobs are handed out democratically, with no favoritism for anyone, and no shakedowns either.
One job open for an AB aboard an oil tanker now in Oregon, North River. It's sailing today, brother, so step up with your registration book. The brother who's been in port the longest time since his last trip gets the job. All right, I have one registration book dated November the 4th. Here's another one dated October 28th.
I was in the union hall that day. I'd returned for my last voyage on October 21st, and I was ready to ship out again. I went up to the dispatching window, showed my card. If no one had come up with a card dated earlier than mine, I'd get the job.
Off this map. All right, I've got another card. October 21st. The job is going. Anyone else? That's all. The job is going. Going. The job is taken.
I reported to the vessel with all my necessary papers. The ship was lying out on the North River, and it had its sailing flag flying on the mast. It was kind of a low-slung tanker with most of its hull buried deep in the water. Now, the minute I came aboard, something happened that I'd never experienced before. One loudmouth guy started to squall.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing on this ship?
I just signed on. Why?
Signed on? How'd you get the job?
In the regular way, from the union. Why?
The union sent you to work on this ship?
Yeah. Anything wrong with it?
What's going on down there? Don't they have any more white men?
I don't get you, brother.
Don't brother me. There's an all-white crew sailing on this ship.
Are you objecting to my sailing?
Objecting? Why, listen, you. This tanker won't move out of this harbor if you're on it. There's no checkerboard crew on this ship.
Hey, what's all around? What's up?
Look, Whitey, look what the union sent us.
Now, take it easy, Beaver. What's the beef?
What's the... Just this. I won't have this guy share my forecastle. If he sails, it means he takes the empty bunk. And that's my forecastle. I've never had one of his kind sleeping in the same room with me.
Is that what the argument's about?
There's no argument. That's what I'm telling you.
Now, keep your shirt on, Beaver. You're making an awful lot out of nothing.
What? You want him to sail on this ship?
I got nothing against him. He's an A.B. The crew's short one A.B. He sails.
Nothing doing, Whitey. Not while I'm on this ship. I'm from the South, and that's fine.
Whitey was the union delegate aboard the ship, and this problem was outside his jurisdiction. The union patrolman would have to settle it. He's the fellow who has a regular beat on the waterfront, and it's his job to settle whatever disputes come up on vessels docked in the harbor. Patrolman Andy Walker came aboard, and after he heard Beaver's story, he looked at him with a puzzled expression.
How'd you get aboard this ship? Don't you know the union rules?
Yeah, I do.
Did you read them?
I read them.
Don't you know that we don't discriminate in our union? How long you been a member?
A couple of years.
Let's see your book.
Oh, here it is. It's all paid up, too.
Mm-hmm. Is your name Elwood P. Beaver?
Yeah.
Now, look here, Brother Beaver. This union fought on the picket line to win every point in its constitution. When we become members of the union, we accept the whole constitution, not parts of it. You ever read the Constitution?
I don't know. I guess so.
Yeah, well, let me read you page 3, section 3. Here's what it says. It's the object of the National Maritime Union to unite in one organization, regardless of creed, color, sex, nationality, or political affiliation, all workers eligible for membership in the maritime industry. That's the law. All workers, regardless of color. Now, do you want to sail or do you want to pile off the wagon?
Well, I don't know.
Make up your mind, brother, because if you want to get off this ship, you can. The whole crew can get off. But brother Johnny here is going to sail.
What if I don't sail?
Well, you turn in your book, and the union will bring you up on charges.
What charges?
Breaking the laws and the Constitution of the Union.
And then?
That's all, brother. You'll be thrown out.
Gee, I don't know.
Now, what's your answer? Sail or pile off?
I'll sail.
Okay. And remember to keep your mouth shut about your phony race theory. Just do your work as you're supposed to. Here's your book. And I wish you a pleasant trip.
A few minutes later, we sail out of the harbor to join a convoy across the Atlantic. During the day, I did a lot of thinking about Beaver. And when nighttime came before turning in, I went down to Whitey's cabin. Whitey was an old hand at sailing, and his bunk was nicely fixed with a portable radio on the shelf playing some waltz music. When I came in, he was lying on his bed, smoking a pipe.
Oh, hiya, Johnny. Sit down. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks, Whitey.
Oh, boy. Pretty smooth sailing tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, nice night.
Hey, do you mind the music?
Oh, no, I like it.
Oh, good.
Whitey, I came here to ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
I'd like to get switched out of Beaver's forecastle.
Has he been making a fuss again?
Well, no. This is my own idea. We're going to be out on this trip for about 60 days. I don't like to make trouble for anybody. I like to get along with all the guys. Besides, I don't believe we can win him over by slugging him. Maybe by working on him, yeah, but not by forcing him to do something against his will.
Yeah, I get you. You want to change bunk, huh?
Yeah, Whitey. You see, if I keep my head and show Beaver that I'm not sore at him, and maybe at the right time open up a decent conversation with him.
Uh-huh.
You know, get him to talk, show him there's no sensible reason why he should feel the way he does. Then maybe he might break down and lose some of his phony mint julep idea.
And do you think it's worth working on him?
Yes, I do.
Well, Johnny, if you want to, okay. Here, you can have my bunk. I'll move into yours. And I'll try working on him, too.
But changing sleeping quarters didn't change Beaver's attitude. Every time he'd come into the mess room, he'd sit at another table with his back toward me. On deck, he'd never say hello. He'd walk past me, looking sullenly the other way. One day, about a week after we'd been out at sea, I decided to have a talk with him. He was on lookout up at fore deck. Say, Beaver, what have you got against me anyhow?
I don't have anything against you.
You act like you do.
Listen, Johnny, I was born in Virginia. We've got a certain way of living down there.
I know about that.
And as long as I'm doing my job aboard this ship, nobody's got nothing to complain about.
You know, Beaver, I'm a Negro, and you're white. You hate me only because I'm a Negro, that's all. You hate all Negroes. I know that's the way a lot of you have been taught all your life in the South. But I don't hate you, even though I have better cause for hate than you have. Listen, Beaver. My brother was lynched by some whites in the South.
Lynched?
Lynched. After the last war. He was a soldier. And he was lynched in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, the heart of America's democracy. But I don't hate all white men because a few of them happen to be vicious and rotten to all the people of my race.
You can feel any way you like. That's your privilege.
We're making a long trip, Beaver. A lot could happen on this trip.
Like what, for instance?
Well, this ship is part of a convoy. German submarines are searching for us in wolf packs. A torpedo could smack this ship at any time. And a whole lot of us could go under with it.
What are you trying to prove?
Nothing special. About 3 days later, we were sailing along quietly. Nothing unusual happened. Then suddenly a voice on the bridge midship yelled out,
"Submarine! Torpedo! Torpedo! Torpedo!
It hit us. The tent fish tore into the port side with a terrific crash. A seam opened and oil and flame gushed out. Then a belt of flame roared out of the ventilators. To my right, I saw an elderly deckhand standing motionless, frozen with fear. The flames came up and caught him and burned all the clothes off his body, even his shoes. The last I saw of him, his body was charred and black, his hair and eyebrows burned off. All the lifeboats on the port side were blown into the water. Then Whitey came running up the deck, shouting to me, but it was hard to hear.
Johnny! Johnny! Are you hurt? Are you hurt? Look at him, Whitey. He's burned. He's burned.
Come on, kid. Snap out of it. Snap out of it.
Quick, stop. Did you see the sun?
Now, come on. Dive over. Make for the lifeboat. Hurry up. Stay clear of the hole in the ship or you'll get sucked in. Now, dive. Dive, I tell
stick
you.
Stick with me, Whitey. We'll make it.
Come on. Hurry up.
We'll
get over there now. Come on.
There goes the last ship of our convoy.
They didn't stop. They didn't stop to pick us up.
They couldn't. Their job to get through.
Yeah, sure.
Are you all right now?
I guess so. I can't see yet. Oil's still in my eyes. Oh, dirty German subs.
Want some more water?
No, not yet. Hey, Johnny, you see any other lifeboats nearby?
Yeah, two. Up ahead. Empty. Listen.
What's that?
You hear something?
I can't see, but... Hey, somebody's out there.
It's Beaver. I see him.
Where?
Here, take these oars.
Okay,
all right?
Yeah.
Now, together. Pull.
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 Come on.
Pull. 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 We just made it in time. Had we lingered another few minutes, it would have been too late. Beaver was exhausted when I put my hand over the side of the boat and grabbed his hand. My strength was almost gone, too. My body was aching from fatigue. My head was splitting from the strain. And it was freezing cold and miserable. But Beaver in the bottom of the boat kept muttering,
"Thanks. Thanks. Thanks."
Then, suddenly, without warning, the submarines that sank our ship surfaced dangerously close to the bow of our life. I yelled like blazes, putting my hands out to try to keep it from ramming us. The conning tower opened, and a German officer got out, followed by a seaman armed with a machine gun. The Nazi commander addressed us in very good English.
"And yet, Captain!"
Whitey regained his sight. He took one look at the swastika on the conning tower, then spit at it. The officer was looking at me when he did it, but Whitey answered it.
"I can't hear you, Captain!"
"He's visiting his sister in Brooklyn."
"What's that? What did you say?"
"Where the hell do you think he is? Where you put him? Take your submarine down to the bottom of the ocean and you'll find him."
"What are you? An officer of the crew?"
"No. I'm the Union delegate. NMU.
Shoot him!
Would you like to know what thoughts ran through my mind when those shots were fired into Whitey's body? I'll tell you. Anyone who says it's easy being a merchant seaman in this war ought to sign up for a course at Sheepshead Bay and become one. I thought of a columnist who kept harping for a long time on all the money we were making out of the war. If this columnist really wants to know the truth, at the end of a year, our salary amounts to about the same as a guy in the Army and Navy. And I thought of our mission again and again. We'll deliver the goods. That's what I thought. Deliver the goods and win the war. But all that vanished from my mind when the U-boat disappeared. And I saw Whitey clutching his chest with both hands. Two bullets pierced his body. I guess even he knew he was done for after that. But he hung on for 2 days. And then he said he wanted to talk to Beaver.
Beaver.
Yeah, Whitey?
I guess I'll soon show off.
Not yet, Whitey. Hold on a little longer. We'll make it, all of us together.
No, not me, Beaver. Listen, you and Johnny are going to be all alone in the boat after you dump me over. You can't be any closer to another guy than in a little boat. And what I want to say is, if you take the trouble...
Easy, Whitey, easy.
I would say it. If you take the trouble to know a guy, any guy, white or black, then you can make up your mind whether he's okay or he's no good. You didn't give Johnny a chance.
Look, Whitey, you ain't got much strength to talk.
I would tell you something else, Beaver. You owe your life to a Negro, to Johnny Vincent. He put out his hand, a colored hand, and he took your hand, a white hand, and he pulled you out of the water.
Whitey!
We kept Whitey's body with us for a day and a night, and then another day, hoping we'd be rescued. We hoped we could give him a proper burial ceremony at sea, but no rescue ships came. And so we had to throw him overboard. We drifted for 8 days, and then a squall came up and damaged our boat. It started to leak so badly that Beaver and I had to stand watch, bailing out the water, bailing it out. I had just finished one watch when Beaver took over the empty can and started bailing and talking at the same time.
Think we'll pull through, Johnny?
Never give up hope, Beaver.
That's odd. Just what I wanted to hear you say. Johnny, I've been quiet. I think you know why, don't you?
No, I can't say I do.
I've been thinking it through, trying to reason the thing out. Trying to make sense out of a bunch of stupid, prejudiced ideas. And it can't be done. How'd I ever fall for such terrible ideas about Negroes?
Perhaps you never gave yourself a chance to speak to a Negro.
Well, that's one reason, I guess. My father's to blame for that. He drummed it into me. The white man must rule. Never give a Negro a chance or he'll step all over you. Let them do things differently up north, but down south, a southerner will remain a southerner.
Some people have talked that way for hundreds of years. They've been educated that way. They have no other kind of teaching but that.
It's wrong. It's viciously wrong. My father's to blame, and his father before him, all the way down the line. The community I lived in, the city, the state, and all the white schools in the south, teaching us that there's one drinking fountain for Negroes and another one for whites. Negro walks on one side of the street and a white man walks on the other. White supremacy, it's called.
Hitler gives it another name, Nordic supremacy. But it's the same idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's never been so clear to me before. Imagine how awful dumb I was not to know how wrong I was. Whitey said it. Give yourself a chance to know a man, white or black. And then decide if he's okay or not. Seems so simple.
Beaver, look!
What?
A convoy headed straight for our boat.
Gosh, they came out of nowhere.
Look at them. Those are our ships.
They see us. They're signaling. They see us.
We're saved, Beaver. We're saved.
They'll pick us up, won't they?
Sure, they've got to. We're American seamen. They've got to pick us up.
Let's wait, though.
Hey! Hey, here we are! Come and get us! Here we are! Hey! Hey!
They're coming closer. Here we are! Here we are! Here!
Hey! Hey!
Here we are!
They smell us!
Johnny, they passed us. They're not going to stop us.
Hey, fellas! Stop! Stop! We're from the NMU! The NMU! NMU!
Johnny, it's no use. They're all going past us.
Yeah. They probably can't stop. Or they think we're part of a German trick to make them stop.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going through.
Take a look at that American flag on the last ship, Beaver. It's probably the last time you'll ever see that flag. Fate smiled at us, only for a few seconds. And then our hearts sank in complete despair. The chances of seeing another convoy were 100 to 1. But then, suddenly, we heard 2 blasts from a ship's foghorn, and the last vessel turned around on a 180-degree arc and steamed full speed in our direction. It came alongside. It picked us up. The crew cheered as we were lifted aboard the ship. We were saved! We were saved! Aboard that ship was the greatest mixed crew I'd ever seen. They had Chinese, Mexicans, South Americans, Negroes, whites, Portuguese, all American seamen. After we'd had a few hours' rest, one Negro sailor came down and performed a little ceremony for us.
Here I got these 2 torpedo emblems from a couple of guys of the ship, a Dutchman and another Negro. They want me as a Union delegate to pin these medals on you. We're glad you made it, brothers.
Brothers, he said. Yes, that's what we call ourselves in the NMU, brothers. And to prove it, Beaver, who was resting in the bed alongside mine, again offered his hand to me and said,
"Let's shake on that, brother Johnny. Next trip we make, how about sailing together?
And share the same room?"
"You said it. The only way."
"Okay. Together, we'll deliver the goods."
You've been listening to a dramatization entitled We Deliver the Goods, dedicated to the merchant seamen in the National Maritime Union. Written, produced, and directed by Mitchell Grayson, and featuring Charles Perry as Johnny Vincent. Others in the cast included Joe Bolan as Beaver, Norman Rose as Whitey, Louis Gilbert as Patrolman Brother Andy Walker, and James Fuller as the Negro Seaman. This program was based on the theme of Roy Otley's book New World A Coming, with music by James Lazito, conducted by Jerry Sears. The theme song was composed by Duke Ellington. Next week, New World A Coming will bring you a special holiday program featuring outstanding leaders of the Negro community: Channing Tobias, Lester Granger, Roy Wilkins, and Langston Hughes. If you'd like to attend a broadcast of New World A Coming, you may obtain tickets by addressing your request to WMCA 1657 Broadway, Zone 19, New York City. This was a public service broadcast of WMCA. This is America's leading independent station.